Best of luck to Jeff Mitty and his squad tonight against Baylor. Mitch, you'll be headed over to Bramlage Coliseum here in about an hour or so. How cool would that be for you to call a K-State victory over Baylor in a game like this?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think my PA announcing gets better when K-State and the crowd, they're in it against the big opponent.
So you're just hoping that K-State doesn't trail by like 30 or something?
I hope so. I mean, if K-State can hang around with UConn and, I mean, just this last Saturday, I think Baylor only beat West Virginia by 6 or 8, and K-State has beaten West Virginia this year, and it's at home. Hopefully it's a good crowd. I certainly think K-State has a chance.
Well, the Wildcats have certainly established themselves as a good team. They have fallen just a little bit short in their opportunities to prove themselves as a great team, falling just short in overtime against Oklahoma on the road a couple weeks ago, and then was that last Saturday at Iowa State. That was a game that you expected the Cats to win, but they never seemed to play great up in Ames and weren't able to get the job done there. So they're right there, but haven't quite got over the hump yet.
The Cats are great at home. If you ask Coach Mitty, as of late, they haven't been so great at home, but they've had their issues on the road. That's where the complications are at currently.
A lot of interesting headlines from the world of college basketball, so let's go around college basketball.
And now for a look around college basketball.
Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane. Farouk Benesh, a three.
We go shock the world. I told you we go shock the world.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kansas State heads to the Elite Eight.
This is Around College Basketball.
K-State wasn't the only team from the state of Kansas to lose last night. KU no longer unbeaten in Big 12 play. The Jayhawks rallied from a 10-point deficit before being blown out down the stretch against West Virginia last night. Bob Huggins has now beaten KU 4 straight times in Morgantown.
Yeah, it's not a totally unexpected result. I mean, West Virginia was the favorite in this game, but they had really struggled over their last couple outings, including a loss to K-State in Manhattan. I was really impressed with the way that West Virginia rallied after KU went on their run to take the lead. I mean, it was kind of similar to the K-State-West Virginia game, actually. The Mountaineers held a 10-point lead. KU rallies to take that lead back, and then West Virginia finishes the game very, very strong. Bob Huggins, by the way, gets a $25,000 bonus every time he beats KU. So that's $100,000 that he's added to his bank account the last 4 years.
And I heard from the broadcast from Dick Vitale, I'm not sure what charity it is, but he donates that $25,000 to a charity that researches cancer.
I did hear that as well. That's pretty awesome. Top class from Bob Huggins, and congratulations to them on the win.
And just a couple things I want to point out about the Jayhawks. Awful from the free throw line in the second half, and awful defense in the paint.
Yeah, KU. Awful. KU finished this game 6 of 15 from the free throw line. That's 40%. Also, something that I think is a legitimate concern for them, and it's starting to get talked about more and more. KU has played 8 conference games now. They have allowed at least 80 points in 4 out of those 8 conference games. KU's defense is not great.
It's just their offense that keeps them in it. They could be hot from three as well. The Jayhawks were the only top 5 team to taste defeat last night. Number 1, Villanova, and number 4, Kentucky, also went down to Marquette and Tennessee, respectively. The Cats travel to Knoxville to take on Tennessee this weekend in the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Yeah, the game there gets a little bit more flavor to it. It was already going to be a very important game for K-State, because with the loss to Iowa State, you do feel like K-State does need to have a 1-1 week. And that is a fringe top 50 win now, potentially, if K-State's able to win that because of Tennessee knocking off Kentucky. I actually think that this may be a positive thing for K-State's chances, because doesn't it just seem like Tennessee would have some sort of an emotional hangover in that game against K-State after knocking off the best team in their conference? Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think the K-State's got a pretty good shot.
K-State has taken care of a team that was coming off a very disappointing loss, an upset loss. Now can K-State take care of a team who just pulled off an upset win away from home. I think, that win alone has kind of rejuvenated the season for Volunteer fans, even though that was probably actually 50-50 attendance last night in Knoxville, 50% Tennessee, 50% Wildcat fans. But I think the Cats, yeah, certainly, I'm more intrigued by this matchup now. I thought it was going to be a blowout before last night. Following the lead of the College Football Playoff Committee, I feel this is really awesome, the NCAA Tournament Committee will release its top 16 seeds on February 11th in a preview show on CBS. The committee said it will offer fans a glimpse behind the seeding process.
There are positives and negatives to this. The big positive is that it just gives college basketball fans something to grasp onto and something to pay attention to. I'm sure that every team that has a chance of being in that top 16 is going to be paying very close attention. The problem is, it's the same problem that they have with the college football playoff releasing their rankings starting with week six of the season. You back yourself into a corner if you say, this is what we prioritize when seeding, and then what if they do something else on Selection Sunday? I mean, you can contradict yourself with that. So it's basically just a ratings grab, but I'm fine with it. I will probably pay attention to it and see what happens.
Oh, you're totally right. My issue with this is with the college football playoff, the selection committee having a show each week, is that everything is relevant. You know, going into those games, you know exactly where this team is sitting, what they need to do down the road. When it comes to this selection process for the NCAA tournament and just this little teaser on February 11th, that's only going to be relevant for maybe at the most a couple weeks. After that, what that whole show did is probably, for most of the teams in the field, out the window. It's a completely new look for a lot of folks.
Now, for people here in Manhattan, and I would add myself to this, I'd be more interested in seeing a NCAA tournament preview show that shows who's on the bubble and who's in and who's out right now than who's the top 16 seeds.
And finally, a broadcasting legend is hanging up his microphone at the end of the month. ESPN football and basketball play-by-play voice Brent Musburger is retiring after more than 40 years in the business. His final game will be Kentucky versus Georgia next Tuesday.
Brent Musburger has taken quite a bit of heat over the last 4 or 5 years since ESPN transitioned him from being a mostly ESPN guy to just an SEC network guy. It does seem like the overall quality of his broadcasting has gone downhill a little bit, and that's too bad. I mean, he is 77 years of age. But you have to appreciate what he was able to do for college sports, and overall he's had just a remarkable career. He has that catchphrase of "you are looking live." I know that everyone loves to laugh when he makes references to the betting lines in games. Everyone thinks that he's got some really deep connections in Vegas or something like that. I actually saw that he is planning on moving to Vegas in his retirement, so that's good for him. He will be missed. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, certainly. I mean, his voice was on a lot of big games for K-State, including the Big 12 championship game in 2003. I'll never forget his broadcast of, you know, when James Terry and Darren Sproles scored. I always remember his voice on those calls. Plus, I mean, I've actually heard the reason he says you are looking live when a broadcast starts for a football game is to tell or to show sports bettors of what the weather is like at the game, if it's a clear day, if it's a nighttime with no wind, or if it's snowing. Huh. You know, he gives a little insight for the sports bettors.
Well, that's pretty funny and very believable if you follow the career of Brent Musburger. That's going to wrap up Around College Basketball. We'll head to our next break. When we come back, a small piece of good news as the Royals continue to mourn Yordano Ventura. That's when we come back on the game.